This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text, 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and we want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars for any reason. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that,
Ryan. Follow our show from the new Chromebook that you just punched somebody in the face for on Black Friday.
I was just about to say happy Black Friday,
happy
my
Black
friend.
Friday.
It is upon us at last.
Did you guys go shopping this morning?
We went shopping a little. Well, no, I didn't go shopping. Ellie went shopping. I haven't been Black Friday shopping in years. We used to go, but it's always struck me as funny as the day after Thanksgiving, like literally sometimes the same day, we just got done sitting down at the table and giving thanks to the Lord for everything we're grateful for, and less than 12 hours later we are in line
punching people in the face for everything we don't,
knocking people down trying to get all the TVs and all the goo gags and the doodads and all that stuff.
What is a goo gag?
A goo gag is like a little gadget, you know, what the kids use, like they have like the little pokey whatever, the Pokemans, and they hit the buttons, they fight. It's crazy, man, what the kids get up to these days. They got the little Beyblades, and they got
Have you been shopping recently?
Digimons. I think I'm like a Rip Van Winkle. I just fell asleep.
That sounds right. You fell asleep in like the late 90s and woke up. That sounds right.
Oh, Black Friday. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Elizabeth and I went Black Friday shopping years ago before kids, but it was like we're going to go and maybe buy a couple things, but we really went to just go hang out. People watch.
And look at the people.
Yeah, just kind of like there's excitement in the air as people are kind of like stressing to get here and there. And we're just kind of sitting down, sipping our drinks and just like,
I want to take us on a philosophical walk down human nature, like the path of human nature. Because
here's what
I want to say. Does Black Friday bring all the crazies out into the public, or is this just it's always inside them? Like when you go in Walmart, like not today, but let's say I went in Walmart 5 weeks ago. Black Friday is nowhere on the horizon and these people are there. Are they actually crazy but suppressing it? And then on Black Friday, they let it out. It's like kind of like the Purge sort of thing.
100%.
They're just crazy.
Absolutely.
They're crazy and violent.
The average person is crazy and violent. They just keep themselves from the inside. Except for Black Friday when people get trampled over Tickle Me Elmo.
Black Friday is like the Purge. Friday is like
it's
the
purge for
like,
shopping.
Like you are socially allowed to bring out all your ugliness and all your
I'm very
desire.
Grateful for all of the things in my life, but I will curb stomp you if you take that last plasma screen.
Now, here's my question. This is for my Clearview people specifically. If you listen into the show and I don't know you specifically, you're allowed to be as crazy as you want. But for all my Clearview people who are listening, all right, is y'all acting crazy on Black Friday? Look at me now.
Be honest.
Look at me. The Lord is watching you. Are y'all acting crazy on that Black Friday? Are y'all going to Walmart and pushing old ladies down? Are y'all going to Kmart?
Are y'all Kmart? Nobody's going to Kmart.
Are y'all going to Ross Dress for Less and acting crazy? Y'all going to Circuit City and acting a daggone fool?
Circuit City. What? Radio Shack?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. It was on the tip of my tongue, but I couldn't.
Pull out the old school.
Anyway, man. Anyway, I say happy Black Friday. We're going to get Dr. Sean here and talk to him a little bit. I can't imagine Dr. Shaw Black Friday shopping. No way. Either. Unless they had a Black Friday sale at like the manuscript store. Like the
manuscript like the
antique shop. Yeah.
Write in and let us know your take on Black Friday. And if you're still out there Black Friday shopping, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, happy Friday, my friend.
Happy Friday to you guys.
Happy Black Friday.
Happy Black Friday. Anybody out early for deals today?
Black Friday sounds like a ancient, like medieval battle or something. Like,
welcome to Black Friday.
It's like a war, like Bloody Sunday. That was like, what was that? Russia? Something like that. Bloody Sunday or something like that.
Ireland.
Yeah. It was like a ancient battle or like a catastrophe.
And that day became known as Black Friday.
And then I feel like every time I see footage of Black Friday, I feel like, yeah, this is sort of a catastrophe.
It kind of fits. Why is that person of a spear?
Dr. Shah, just a few short hours ago, we were sitting here around this Thanksgiving podcast table or this Thanksgiving radio table, just giving thanks for all that the Lord has given to us. We're just so grateful. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love to take a break from the show to go out and trample some old ladies in the middle of a wall.
Yeah, I need to put somebody in the face for a plasma screen real quick. I'll be right back.
Have you ever been Black Friday shopping?
Years and years ago.
Did you like it? Who'd you go with? Nicole?
Yeah, Nicole. Nicole okay. And I, yeah.
Did
and
she
the
like
kids,
it?
Kids went too with us. And so it was in a way fun, but I don't shop for those clothes anymore.
Okay.
Like we used to have like this whole thing laid out that we were going to go here and we're going to go by that department store. And those pair of pants I want or something like that. But now I don't do that.
So. Yeah, I don't like shopping on a calm day. You know what I mean? To me, shopping is like, I've never understood the whole, because to me, shopping is like, go in, get what you need and go home.
Yeah. Right.
Because I need something.
Right.
But a lot of women, I mean, some guys too, some guys just like shopping. Some people just like to like go in. I don't need anything, but I just want to see what's up.
Mm. Yeah.
Go in, put stuff, pick stuff up, put it in the, you know, try it on, have no intentions of buying it. It's just like a fun day.
Yeah.
But then to add
the chaos.
The chaos of Black Friday on top of that.
Well, let me back up and say this. It's not the kind that you're thinking, like get up there early in the morning, get in line at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think we ever did that.
Right.
No, it's more like... We'll roll in about 11 o'clock in the evening, in the afternoon,
in
the morning.
11 in the morning.
Yeah, and then kind of walk around and kind of scavenge through.
What's left?
Do you have like a list, like a hit wreckage. List? Like, here's all the things we got to get for Black Friday.
Yeah. So all I have is size 58, you know. I need is 34 or 36. Not going to work.
Yeah. Elizabeth and I went Black Friday shopping like that early, like 1-2 o'clock in the morning kids. This was well before kids. Yeah. We were newly married. And we went because there were some things we wanted to buy, but largely just to people watch. Like, just we went and got some coffee and just kind of sat down and just spent time together. We bought a couple things, but people were crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Really? It was wild. I mean, we saw several like verbal arguments almost break out into like physical altercations.
Really?
Yeah.
Ellie likes that. Ellie likes that. She won't admit it, but she likes it. She likes to see people. She doesn't do that, but she likes to watch people like in the stores break down and start fighting over stuff. Dude. And my mom and sister love it.
I don't like that. I don't like that anymore.
The three of them would go, but then Ellie would do that annoying thing where she's like, I'm not going to have fun if you don't go. I was like, I have no interest in going. I don't like shopping on a fun day. So I definitely don't want to go. Yeah. She's like, well, then I'm just not going to go. I'm like, so I'm getting guilt. All right, I'm going. And I think I went Black Friday shopping 2, maybe 3 years in a row. And then I was like, I'm done.
The end. So you don't do it anymore?
No, I don't like it.
No, with the advent of Cyber Monday,
especially not with children.
That's what I do now. On Monday, really? I'm surfing on my couch. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now that
I'm
got
all
kids,
over Amazon, like I'm getting this and this. This is the comfort of my own home.
This is sort of the way where you spin it to look like a good husband. Because I'm like, look, baby, we're not taking those kids out. Here's what I do. You go break old ladies' backs and you trample them and get all the deals that you want. I'm going to stay home with
you. Stab somebody in the eye for a Tickle Me Elmo.
I'm going to stay home with the kids.
Do y'all even remember Tickle Me Elmo?
I had one.
But we were not married at the time.
No, I was a kid.
No, I was old enough
to remember this whole big uproar about Tickle Me
Elmo. How old were you?
Oh, gosh.
Uproar. What are you talking about?
Elementary, maybe early middle school.
Early middle school.
Probably 10.
Yeah.
Uproar, like everybody wanted one? Or like,
yeah, and
everybody
find
wanted
them.
One. Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, I had one.
No, but do you remember the uproar?
No.
Yeah, couldn't find them. People were like, oh, man, it was crazy.
Like Tickle Me Elmo, where you take it, he's like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, he just starts, and then he starts shaking.
That
was the toy.
I didn't know there was an uproar over it. Black Friday uproar.
It was huge.
This went on people were looking for it everywhere.
Yeah.
Spending hundreds of dollars to buy it.
Stealing
because
from other people. I mean,
oh,
it's crazy.
My goodness.
Yeah. And it was not even worth it.
No, a little doll.
The Tickle Me Elmo craze.
Yeah, he starts laughing and they keep tickling him and then it starts shaking.
Oh my goodness. This video from the CBC is called The Tickle Me Elmo Craze That Called a That's not funny.
Caused a Walmart employee to get trampled.
To get trampled. 1996.
Yeah, I was 96. Right. I would have been 8.
Okay.
I was 8 in 96.
In mid-1990s, kids, I shouldn't be laughing at this, kids went crazy for the Tickle Me Elmo, and so did their parents in trying to acquire the popular toy, crazy enough to trample.
It was nuts. I mean, it was crazy. Walmart. People were getting like hurt and killed over this.
Did they die?
There were some people that died. Absolutely. I don't know if this employee died, but there were some people who did.
Ooh, golly.
Crazy.
That's insane.
I remember that very, very well. We didn't get it that year, but we got it the year after.
You didn't get one for your kids?
Yeah. I mean, a few months later, they were there.
Let me ask you this. I know we got to move on, but if you had taken your dad and your mom Black Friday shopping, what do you think their reaction would have been?
Like, this is like India.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
You think they would have liked it? They would have liked it?
I was not expecting that. All right. So my mom... She loves people.
Uh-huh.
Like she likes to be around people.
Okay.
Or liked. She's in heaven now.
Right, right.
So she liked to live in the city limits. She liked to live where people were.
Mm-hmm.
She liked to go shopping, like in the heart of the bazaar.
Okay, okay.
I was a little boy. Mom would take me shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. I didn't want to be there. I did not want to be there because I knew exactly the route. We're going to go by the vegetable market here. Then we're going to go by the grain market over there. And then we're going to go by rice over here. We're going to go by wheat over there. And so
you can still see all those markets.
Oh, I can see them all. I saw them last time I went. I mean, so much has changed. It's like imagine a lot of, like this flat ground and it's a lot of dirt's caked on.
Uh-huh.
It's just like so much more is on top of each other. And, it's so hectic.
Wow.
It is so hectic. And she would take me usually like on a Saturday afternoon or something like that. And then and it's hot and I'm walking around holding her hand and there's like 50,000 people converging on the same bizarre.
Goodness. Right.
Yes. And people are like shoving this and shoving. But they knew her. Uh-huh. So the guy who's sitting behind a huge pile of beans. That's how it went. I mean, he went to the bean shop. It's nothing but beans, beans.
He's got beans, beans, mountain beans, of beans, 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 beans.
You name it.
I got to give you that one, right?
Thank you. Good I appreciate job. That.
And then they're like, and they would call her Benji, which means like sister, but also like a teacher, because she was also a teacher and she was known as a teacher in town. So they would say, "Oh, teacher, yes." And so how much? And then she would say that, and then she would barter with the guy. I mean, not barter, like bargain with the guy.
Yeah.
And I was like,
so she would haggle the price.
Yeah, you do that.
Was she good at it?
Yes. Oh yes. And it was annoying because I was like, just go.
Just buy. Let's just go, please. Yeah.
Then she was like, no. That last week we paid this, so that you're like, well, there's no the things going up and all that. And it's like, no. We've been coming here for years since I remember this so well. It's
so
like,
she could be disagreeable in the store if she needed to get a good
this
deal.
This is not a store. This is an outside big bazaar.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, you'd be shocked to see how much food. And they keep it. It's not the cleanest place.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's the shop itself is clean.
Now here's a, I don't want to interrupt you from your story. Are you that way? Like if someone's like, hey, I know this was the price, but now it's this. Would you be like, I just want this to be over with, so here's what it
no,
is?
No, I do bargain now.
Okay,
because, I mean, the things I buy now are like books and things like that. So if I can bargain a better price, I will definitely do that.
Right.
But not over beans or potatoes. So then we go to the potato shop, and it's like tons of – I mean, it's like a mound. It's like a mountain, like this tall, and the guy sitting behind it on this bench, and he has his workers around him with bags ready to put the potatoes in there. And he said, no, that's a bad one. Why would you put a bad one in there? So I mean, this hundreds of voices happening.
You look like that right there.
That's actually very nice put together.
Let me put, I'm gonna see if I can air,
yes, Indian bazaar is what you gotta type all right on Google. I'm sure you'll find some pictures out there.
I got you.
So yeah. Whew. I would be stressed.
That's stressful. I mean, yes. I'm like third party here in this, and yeah, I'm
especially
stressed
as like a
for
little
you
kid too.
Yeah. And then we go to the daily goods store. Mm-hmm. That's where we would go buy all the oil and the butter and everything, and I have to stand there.
Wow, that's incredible.
And then the list goes in, and then they go back there, and they, oh my gosh.
Oh, so she would give them a list, and they would.
They would get everything.
Oh,
yeah,
well, that's kind of cool.
Not the beans part. This is another store.
This is a different place.
This is a different
place. So it wasn't like
one. Yeah, like that.
Whoa.
Like that. Yes.
This one
this
here?
This is, see, like here, like that, like that. That's what they look like.
That
this,
is
this one here, that's
crazy
what they look like?
Yes. Except the mound was probably more like that over there.
Like this one?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that picture is at least, yeah.
So she'd be over here.
Yeah, but it didn't look like this. I mean, imagine like, hundreds of people here and hundreds of people there.
For those on the radio, this is literally
it's like a mountain of potatoes.
A small mountain of potatoes.
Yeah, it looks like a hill. Yeah. You said, I'm going to type in Bhusawal and just see.
Oh, yeah, you'll see. I'm sure Bhusawal Bazaar.
Yeah.
There it is. Oh, yeah.
That's the bazaar?
Okay, yeah, that's one of the bazaars. Go in there. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the bazaars. But it's okay, that's it. And
that's the one your mom would take you to?
No, I don't remember that. I mean, maybe it is.
Got you.
But imagine that with lots of people everywhere.
They got the people to clear out for the photo.
Yes.
Y'all move so we can take a picture real quick.
I mean, I remember some of these places. I'm not so, when I tell you all these stories, I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. This is
real.
All real.
That's insane.
All real.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and then the haggling would begin and then the bargaining. And I'm like, can we go home? Not right now. Yeah. We just started. We're not gonna.
Oh, that's you never want to hear that. You never want to hear that. So all that to say, she'd be right at home during Black Friday.
Oh yeah,
no problem at all.
Gotcha.
Your dad? How'd your dad feel about it?
Dad would do the shopping too, but he wouldn't bargain like mom would bargain. No, dad would just like he had his, and they knew he was coming, so they always knew exactly what he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he always was dressed up, you know, nice. Expensive shoes, not suit, but you know, dress pants, dress shirt. So they knew he was sir.
Yeah.
Sir. So everybody called him sir.
Wow. That's awesome.
It father. Is. They would call him father.
Very cool.
Yeah. Wow. Our verse of the day today is coming from Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Mm,
sort of the perfect antithesis
exactly
for
Black what I was
through the market.
You are, hold on one second. No way. Antithesis. You're joking me.
I promise you that's not the word.
Judge. Antithesis is the word. Oh, it's not the word. Okay. Okay.
So the point's taken away from him.
Yeah, I got to get so shamed. If he Hang ever, on yeah, oh, God, he actually took the points.
I can have an expanded vocabulary. Thank
All
you very
right.
much.
I just didn't think antithesis, the antithesis, but I think you're right.
Antithesis.
But I think you're right. I mean, even talking about Black Friday, maybe we can talk about that on today's show, like this learning to be content with what God gave you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like Dr. Shah, I know that you being in the scholarly world, there's nothing inherently wrong with ambition, wanting to do better, wanting to have the best life on earth that you can. You know, how do you balance that with what Jesus says, where he says, I'm gentle and lowly, and in me you'll find rest for your souls? Mm. How do you balance that with people who are like, well, then we shouldn't want things. We shouldn't strive to shop or to gain things.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's a balance there. I think there's a place for what Paul talks about. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's more a passage about contentment than, oh, I can hit a jump shot.
You know, right.
It's more about that. So, yes, we should be content where God has placed us. At the same time, it's good to have a vision, a goal, a strive, a drive in life. And that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as we don't begin to worship those things.
Right.
As long as we don't live our lives focused upon those things.
Yeah. I appreciate that mindset because it wasn't until working here that I developed that drive, that passion to be better, to explore, to go further. By nature, I'm a very kind of easygoing, stagnate, vanilla. John likes to call me a milk toast guy.
I always say that.
John calls me a milk toast.
But I always say that because I think the same of me. I think I fall into that category too, where I don't, once I arrive at a place I'm comfortable with, I don't have a drive to, or I would say I didn't have a drive to be better.
Yeah.
Right.
Very much like the, this works, don't fix what's not broken.
Yeah, don't touch it.
Right. But you've taught me to push the boundary in a good way, explore what is ahead, dig further and be more creative.
Yeah. I think there's value in good Christian ambition.
Yeah.
And I know that can sometimes be a dirty word to some people, but I disagree. And I think you've taught me that is that you should always, I don't want to be better than everybody else. I want to be better than I was yesterday.
Right.
And the people who are better than me are driving me to be that.
Yeah.
I want what they have, not in an envious sort of way, but I can see that God has blessed them for their hard work.
That's right.
And for their, maybe there's a better word than ambition, but their drive to make
better and best for the glory of God, not better and best just so you can look at yourself in the mirror and feel like you have arrived or you're so something and somebody. I mean, that's just gives room for pride.
Right.
Yeah.
No, we don't need that. Better and best for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a big difference.
Very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
We talked. What did you say?
Milk toast.
No way.
You give him milk toast.
No way.
And you give me sermonic something.
You give me, what did I have the other day?
You said it back to me.
Paradiddle? You gave me sermocination.
Sermocination versus milk toast.
I
say we fire the guy.
I was
going
to say, Dr. Shah, I don't know if I have the authority to send Cleveland like President home for
Trump
there.
Will say, you're fired.
Hey, listen, you're fired.
You're fired.
Get out. I don't know if I have permission
words, the
or the authority
words.
To send Clearview employees home for the day, but I would, if you would grant me that just for today, I'd like to send him home.
Well, the problem milk is toast. I need him to do some work. I don't want him to go.
Well, congratulations on milk toast,
Thank
Ryan.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Incredible.
I saw that when I was like, oh, what a happy coincidence.
You got offended over antithesis, but milk toast was fine.
Yeah.
Okay, shoot. And you didn't think to say, hey, David, I think this word's too easy?
No.
Milk toast.
If I get lobbed the softball, I'm going to hit it.
Yeah, you hit it all right.
We talked the other day, Dr. Shah, I think not yesterday, but the day before, about your scholarly
research.
And so I wanted to know, because we were talking about all these articles that you're writing and you're pouring so much time into your research. You know, how do you engage in research in that way? What I mean is, I think you made the comment that like a lot of times these articles, they get published, but they're not like circulating. They're not sold like books are sold.
Right.
So how do you find them?
So there is a database out there. Mm-hmm. Libraries have it. Universities have it. Academic institutions definitely have it, especially if they're accredited. They mm-hmm. will have it. Mm-hmm. And you get on there and you're able to do research, advanced settings, and you're able to type in keywords or author names, or if you have a book title, mm-hmm. or if you have a verse that you're working on. Let's say I'm doing this paper on Acts 8:37, so I'm going to type that into the keyword.
Mm-hmm. And by the time this airs, by the way, you're probably reading this paper right now as people are listening to this. Right. That's really cool.
And then things begin to pop up. But just because you do that doesn't mean you're going to have all the articles. Sometimes you have to go through bibliographies. Mm-hmm. You have to read introductory articles and dictionaries, not just a regular English dictionary, but these are like theological dictionaries or Greek theology, exegesis mm-hmm. dictionary, and find relevant subjects and then look down to see what are the recommended books mm-hmm. or articles that this author used in composing that article. Mm-hmm. And then you follow them. Read those articles, and then you'll find out that there are experts in the field mm-hmm. on that particular subject or that book or that verse even. And then you see what is it that those experts recommend. Mm-hmm. They're not going to say, okay, so read this book. No, they're going to quote a certain book mm-hmm. more often than others. Mm-hmm. So you go, or an article. So you then follow that article. I'm writing this paper. Mm-hmm. on Acts 8:37, which is a verse that should not be there in mm-hmm. the original text, mm-hmm. okay? Because the manuscripts that support that verse are from the 4th, 5th century. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason for them to be in the text. Mm-hmm. So as I am, there's no reason for that verse to be in the text right. of Acts. So as I'm researching that verse and the grammar or the manuscripts, you know, something will spark something there about a certain author, mm-hmm. certain text critic from the 19th century who wrote some very important things mm-hmm. regarding the Western text. So I'm going to follow that person for a little bit and see who was he? What was his deal? Why did he think that the Western text was good? Mm-hmm. Like A.C. Clarke. Mm-hmm. What was so special about him? And then I'll follow him and then, he wrote a book called The Descent of Manuscripts. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see what this book, this book has a lot of information. Well, this information, is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. And then I'll read somebody else from the time period who talked about The Descent of Manuscripts by A.C. Clarke. So I want to know, who are those people? Mm-hmm. Were they reputable enough to write on it? So now I'm learning not only about Acts 8:37, but also about the Western text, also about A.C. Clarke, also about Descent of Manuscripts. And then I'm also learning about these other text critics who talked positively or negatively about A.C. Clarke's work. But in the process, you see how I've been able to understand?
Right.
I've been able to understand Acts 8:37 better. Not completely, but better. Mm-hmm. I've been able to understand the Western text. I've been able to understand A.C. Clarke. I've been able to understand the state of New Testament textual criticism mm-hmm. At the end of the 19th century. So my understanding has grown.
Yeah. So again, it's not
it can
you,
happen.
Right. And it's not you just chasing a lead to achieve a goal, but really the goal is you're becoming a better scholar. Mm-hmm. You're becoming a better text critic. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, this is kind of just an aside, but have you ever like, is it possible to know that a source is a waste of time with that? Like, so for instance, like that book, okay, well, the descent, what was it? The Descent of Manuscripts. The Descent of Manuscripts. For you to find out if this information is good or a waste of time, do you have to read that book or can you just go to other people who have said?
Yeah, I have to decide, is this book a key book in my field that is a must read? Mm-hmm. So thank goodness I have someone like Dr. Maurice Robinson. I can ask him. And mm-hmm. I did ask him. I said, what do you think about A.C. Clarke? I know he's a Western text proponent. Or is he good? He said, well, the way he saw variant readings is like it's like they were passengers getting on and off a train. Mm. So a variant reading would get part of the manuscript tradition, then jump off, and then jump back in, and then jump off. And jump. He said, that really is not how textual criticism worked. Mm. That's not how the Greek manuscripts were transmitted. By variants jumping on and off. We don't have proof for that. Mm. That's not really accurate.
Right.
Oh, okay. So maybe I shouldn't read Descent of Manuscript. It does have some helpful information, mm-hmm. but maybe not one that is a must read on my list.
Gotcha.
You see how that works. Mm-hmm. But I am aware of A.C. Clarke. I'm aware of his contribution. I'm also aware of his deficiencies. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to read that book.
Gotcha.
But if I find it at a book sale at like $4, I'll buy it.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, even if it's like $20, I'll buy it because it's worth having and it has some very important information.
Yeah.
Very cool.
About the Western time. So things like that is how scholarly research is done. Maybe we need more time to talk about this.
So helpful. So interesting thinking about the research that scholars do, that you do, Dr. Shaw, and mm-hmm. wading into that world. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Be a part of what God is doing through the Clearview Today Show and reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus. John, what do you want to plug as we head into the weekend?
Definitely want to plug, well, first off, Dr. Shaw's paper. It will be available. You're actually reading it today as you guys are listening to it. And I imagine it will be available in the coming weeks or months for you guys to read. But if not, in the meantime, you can be reading his book, 30 Days of Praying for America, Daily Devotions to Heal Our Nations. Dr. Shaw wrote this alongside his wife, Nicole. You can get it on Amazon right now. You can also get our debut album, Heaven Here and Now. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, Rhapsody, anywhere that digital music is sold. So make sure you download it right now.
Also, just want to remind you, if you are local in the area, make sure you come by and pick up your tickets for A Christmas Carol coming up right here at Clearview Church on December the 7th and the 8th.
It's not going to be milk toast.
It's not going to be milk toast. Tickets are $5 a piece. Doors open at 6 and the show starts at 7, and we would love to see you. If you'd like information about tickets, you can contact us here in the Clearview Today Show. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend worshiping God with your church family. We'll see you bright and early on Monday. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.